morning, Packer fans. Welcome to Railbird Central here on CheeseheadTV.com. It is Friday, November 5th, and we are getting ready for a game this Sunday. Sunday night football on NBC against the Dallas Cowboys at, I believe, 7:20 a.m. Thanks for joining us today. Please, if you want to, join the conversation on our live blog. Comments are being approved today. And by all means, use Twitter. Please tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV, and your comments will get through. Folks, if you could be my eyes and ears this morning and just let me know that everything looks and sounds fine. I'm testing out some new equipment today. Hopefully we'll be better for it. I'm trying to make this a little better quality show. I'm trying to make the calling portion better. We've had some phone calls in the past get garbled, get cut, so I've got some new equipment, some new cables, and hopefully we've fixed that. So glad to have you with us this morning, and we will be talking about what's in the Packers news. And I'm going to pull up this morning's Packers Daily Links. I link to it at the top of the live blog. Please feel free to click it and follow along with today's top stories. And the top one today, Darren College's status in doubt, the starting left guard for the Green Bay Packers. If you click the link, it'll take you to an article at the Green Bay Press Gazette by Pete Doherty. And Mr. Doherty had this to say about Mr. College. He says, quote, "The Packers starting left guard had his back lock up on him at practice Wednesday and didn't practice Thursday, which leaves in doubt his availability for Sunday night's game against the Dallas Cowboys." You know, I don't think anybody's going to confuse Darren College with Donald Driver in terms of week in, week out availability. Maybe in a couple of years they would. But say this about Darren College. He's there every week, or has been. And that looks to be in doubt now. You know, I'm not going to make any opinions on his injury history or that he's injury prone until after this weekend. And I mean, even if he does miss the game, you can't say Darren College is injury prone by any means. I don't know if he's missed a game ever, has he, in his entire career? At least due to injury. No, he's out there all the time, and you have to commend him on being always out there, always consistent. And as Alex Talich at the Packers Lounge says, always there early in the red zone too. No, but, you know, he may not play this Sunday. It's looking like he's got some back problems. You know, according to others on the team, I think they'll be ready to go with Darren College. I think Darren College will be ready to go. So that's good news on that front. And thank you, everyone, for telling me that everything looks and sounds okay. So I'm glad. I'm having a little bit of troubles this morning with some things, but hopefully our equipment's a little bit better here, and we'll be okay. But yeah, you know, I believe I said this in the Daily Links, and say what you will about Darren College over the years, but, you know, he's been a model of consistency, perhaps the anti-James Jones. You know what you're going to get out of Darren College? He's never going to be a Pro Bowler, probably. I shouldn't say that. Maybe never. Offensive linemen have a way of, late in their careers, making it to the Pro Bowl. Maybe if Darren College starts for 3-4 more years without giving up his starting job. Maybe he could make it eventually when his name becomes more of a known quantity. But yeah, you know, he is what he is. He's consistent. He's not going to bulldoze players with brute strength. But for the most part, he's better than he is worse. You're right, Rupert. He's a model of consistency as far as health, and that's what I meant. And I should have qualified that. He can follow up a good game with a bad game. You know, you have to be more happy than the other way around, I guess, with Darren College. He's always there. For the most part, he keeps Aaron Rodgers upright. For the most part, he makes more good blocks than bad blocks. And he is what he is. I don't know. I'm at a loss for words with Darren College, and I think everyone would be. It's hard to describe his game, but I'm glad the Packers have him. Can he be replaced eventually? Maybe. It's not going to happen this year unless it happens by injury. And I suppose that leads us right into what the Packers will do if Darren College happens to be injured and misses the game. The second story down on today's Packers Daily Links is more about his possible replacement, Jason Spitz, who Jason Wilde of ESPN Milwaukee featured in an article. If you click the link, it'll take you to Mr. Wilde's article here. And he has to say this about Jason Spitz. He says, quote, "If College can't go Sunday night, McCarthy could start veteran Jason Spitz, who has started 47 career games but has seen only spot duty this season, including a few snaps against the New York Jets last Sunday when College lost his shoe and needed to have his ankle retaped." McCarthy said TJ Lang has also taken snaps at left guard in practice. On the live blog, Packer fan John says, "Good thing Ted Thompson didn't trade Spitz," which kind of was the thinking this past off season, that Jason Spitz could be one of the trade targets. I had written several times about it on Cheesehead TV on the blog. Actually, I thought it was more likely that Darren College would be a target. But, you know, Ted Thompson didn't trade either of them. And the Packers have some offensive line depth now as a result. You do have to feel good about Jason Spitz possibly being a replacement. I feel a whole lot better about Jason Spitz than I do Marshall Newhouse at this point. And Marshall Newhouse may be fine. He's just a rookie. You just don't know what you're going to get. Could be very bad for all we know. Brian Devil 78 says, "I miss College experience." Yeah, Darren College is a feature on the Packers official website, Packers.com. Not there anymore. Kind of interesting how he's fallen off the map a little bit in terms of his presence. I believe they also had, what was it called, Tuesday Night Touchback? And I believe Spitz and College kind of co-hosted that. And that's, I don't believe that's on the air anymore either. I'm not in the Green Bay market. I don't get the local shows. I get the Milwaukee stations living here in Beaver Dam. But I don't think that's on anymore. And kind of seen both of them fall off the map in terms of their media presence. And, you know, I suppose part of that is Jason Spitz isn't a starter anymore. And it was up in the air that Darren College would be too before the season. But I think there's a couple things to take away from the article written by Jason Wilde. And that would be this. First of all, I had no clue Jason Spitz even played on offense against the Jets. Did anybody else notice that? I didn't see it at all, and apparently it was brief, but I hadn't even noticed that Jason Spitz came in for Darren College. I wonder how many snaps it was, because, you know, even doing my film review, normally I pick up on that stuff when I'm watching rather closely, and it didn't happen. Jason Spitz this year has been, I mean, where he's gotten the bulk of his play has been on field goal and extra point. He's a regular on the field goal and extra point unit. You know, he gives some of the other offensive linemen a breather. And that's good. I mean, if you're going to be active, you might as well contribute to the team. No, I hadn't even noticed he played in the Jets game, which is interesting. And Mr. Wilde also notes, as Mike McCarthy said in his press conference, TJ Lang has also taken snaps at left guard. So, TJ Lang, another possible option. So I'll throw it to you out there. If College couldn't go, who would you rather see at left guard? Jason Spitz or TJ Lang? Or the other category? And maybe, Alex, if you would, throw the poll up on the live blog, you know, that could easily be a poll question here. Jason Spitz, TJ Lang, or other? And we'll see what Green Bay Packer Nation here has to think. Packers Lounge suggests Duke Preston. Don't throw Duke Preston on the poll. Duke Preston. Duke Preston was worth a shot. You know, Ted Thompson signed him as a free agent. Nobody, you know, he never signs free agents, so he signs Duke Preston. And, you know, he didn't stick around, but he didn't hurt the Packers by any means. I'm gonna put my vote in. It's pretty close right now as I'm looking at it. And I think there's about a 30 to 40 second delay here between myself and you. But right now it's in at 50-50 between Spitz and TJ Lang. And not a single vote for either. And the reason I had the other category is I wanted to mention this as well. All training camp long, Brian Bulaga competed against Darren College for the starting left guard spot. And Mike McCarthy didn't mention that at all in his press conference. Which I thought was a little unusual, perhaps. But it goes to show you that they really put a lot of stock into practice time. And Brian Bulaga's over there at right tackle. And if he can't practice at left guard, they're not going to play him there, flat out. That's just the way it is. So, with Brian Bulaga at right tackle, it looks like, you know, they're going to give the reps to Jason Spitz and TJ Lang there at left guard. You know, I thought maybe, just maybe, and I wasn't sure, but I thought maybe that Brian Bulaga would slide to left guard and then they'd put TJ Lang at right tackle. I thought maybe that would get your best five players on the field. But you could add the same five by putting TJ Lang there at two. And I notice our poll, it had jumped up to 57% for Lang and then went back to 50-50. Really, Packer Nation is split on who they'd rather see. TJ Lang or Jason Spitz? Brian Devil says, Spitz because we need Lang for the D-line. Yeah, TJ Lang, it's been like three straight games now where he's played on defense. And before that, it was Josh Sitton as well. Offensive linemen are getting double duty. John Rahor makes a good point. No Bulaga practice at left guard. Must mean Tauscher is a no-go again. Bulaga stays at right tackle. Yeah, Mike McCarthy said Brian Bulaga is the right tackle for this week. I mean, he wouldn't commit any further beyond the bye week, who will be starting at right tackle, whether Mark Tauscher will come back, anything like that. And here's my take on it. And by all means, feel free to give me your take as well. In fact, if you want to, I'll open the phone lines at area code 646-797-2909. You can call in, share your thoughts on the left guard situation for the Packers, or anything for that matter. We're open to any topics here on Cheesehead TV. But here's my take on the situation. Because Brian Bulaga is holding his own and is as healthy can be in the National Football League, there's no rush in hurrying Mark Tauscher back. You know, he's obviously has an injury issue with his shoulder. And I just think that, Mark Tauscher may or may not regain his starting spot. But whatever it is, there's no hurry. I think that if Mark Tauscher had to play, he could play. But the Packers are just playing it safe. Brian Bulaga's playing so well. You got TJ Lang. If he goes down, it's just like, we don't need Mark Tauscher to play if he doesn't need to. And I would assume that Mark Tauscher would be available after the bye week again, where he's got another extra week to recover. I would think by then he's going to be healthy and would be ready to play if needed. Now, whether or not he rejoins the starting lineup, I don't know. As I said in my film review of the Jets game, which is on the archives of Cheesehead TV, the worst offensive lineman performance this past week was from Brian Bulaga. That's not even questionable. It was. And believe me, Chad Clifton didn't look exactly stellar against the Jets. He had his own fair share where, again, he just can't seem to sustain blocks at all. Let's the defender get off of his blocks. But Chad Clifton didn't play well either. But Brian Bulaga had the worst performance. And by that, I think it's possible that Mark Tauscher could rejoin the starting lineup. Although certainly not a given. It will be interesting to see if the Packers decide to keep going with Brian Bulaga at right tackle, what they will do with Tauscher as far as keeping him active or not. Because Mark Tauscher, as solid as he may be in a backup role, he does not provide the versatility of a TJ Lang. The Packers have shown they're only going to keep 7 offensive linemen active on game days. They've done it every game this season. They're only going to go with 2 backups. I don't know what they would do if 3 ever got hurt in the game, but the Packers would be in a world of hurt if 3 more people went down in the same game. But No, they've gone 7 every single game. And they're going to continue to do so. And you know, I think if it was me, I would not keep Mark Tauscher active on game days, even when he comes back, just because TJ Lang is more versatile and can play more than right tackle. That's why. And because even if Brian Bulaga is fine, but there's an injury at a left guard or left tackle, you know, that's when TJ Lang shows his versatility. Mark Tauscher can't play over on the left side. He spent his whole career over on the right. So, that's my take there, by all means. And I'm going to try to get through some of your opinions here on the live blog as you are going through them. The Andy Man says, I am hoping Cliffy hangs it up at the end of this year and Bulaga gets a full off season at left tackle. That's where he belongs. Interesting. Very interesting. I can't wait to continue this conversation in the off season, see where they'll go. It is a long time away, but that is definitely something worth watching. John Rahor asks, how many years did Tauscher re-sign for last year? Tauscher signed a 2-year contract, same as Chad Clifton. So they both have another year left on their contracts. And this is also interesting. Who was Chad Clifton said he wouldn't mind, I forget who he told this, he told a reporter this, he wouldn't mind coming back as a backup, perhaps next year. I mean, he's not willing to concede that already. But he said he would be open to the idea of coming back as a backup, which would be interesting. I could see that happening a year from now. But again, you know, Chad Clifton is, you know, he's a left tackle only. He doesn't provide that versatility as a backup if things were to happen in front of him. But that's neither here nor there. We'll worry about next season when the time comes. Oppie says, Tauscher would be a great guy to move into the front office as a player liaison, like Rob Davis or something. He's smart and could be a great resource for young players. Very true. I think everybody loves Mark Tauscher, don't they? Just as a human being. Who does not like Mark Tauscher? I suppose a big part of it is that he's a Wisconsin native. I think he's, am I correct? Is he the only Wisconsin native on the Packers? None other comes to mind, at least, right away. But yeah, just coming from the Auburndale, Wisconsin. Small community in central Wisconsin. West central, maybe a little bit. But yeah, and a Wisconsin Badger alum, as the Andy Man points out. Played very well for the Wisconsin Badgers. Was he on one of those Rose Bowl teams? Or did he just miss out on that? Did he graduate right before that, right around the turn of the century there? I think he might have missed out on that. John Rahor comments, I don't like Tauscher when he misses blocks. Other than that, he's great. Love him. Yeah, Mark Tauscher had been up and down this season. This year, when he was playing, when he was starting, he looked awful. Everybody looked awful. At least the tackles did. Clifton and Tauscher at first game against Philadelphia, but and then against, I think, Chicago, they both looked pretty poor as well. But then Tauscher did turn it around a little bit. He did. He started playing well there. I think it was the Lions game. You know, that he really bounced back from a poor Chicago performance and played well. And it, granted, it was against the Lions. Of course, their strength, though, is the defensive line. And Chad Clifton bounced back as well. But no, it wasn't until Mark Tauscher sustained his injury that he really, you know, started regressing again. One more story before we go to break and make this a quick one. Third story down on today's Packers Daily Links. Rob Domofsky of the Green Bay Press Gazette reporting that Fox Television has protected two Green Bay Packers games. If you click the link that says Fox Television, it'll take you to the Press Gazette. And it says, quote, Fox Television has protected the Green Bay Packers games at Minnesota, November 21st, and home against the New York Giants, December 26th, according to an NFL source, meaning they can't be moved to the NBC Sunday night primetime game as flex scheduling allows in weeks 11 through 17. So, the Packers are a hot commodity in the world of television. Somebody in the league office the other day tweeted a story about the highest rated shows on television, and the top 13 are all football games in this fall season. Number one was the Packers game against the Philadelphia Eagles opening day on Fox. I was kind of surprised about that because that was regional action. There was other games going on, and that might factor into the equation, those other games. But still, yeah, number one, but highest rated television show, television program of the fall season, Packers season opener against Philadelphia, and then I think it was number three or five. I forget, but the game against Brett Favre, Minnesota, on Sunday Night Football at home at Lambeau Field. So like two of the top five games, programs, in all of television, in the United States at least, Packer games. So they're a hot commodity, and it's no doubt that Fox wanted to protect those games and not move them to NBC Sunday Night Football. But they only protected two games, so that means a couple more could be on the way playing Sunday Night Football. And you never know, that last game of the year against the Chicago Bears at home, I think it's the day after New Year's, if that could determine the NFC North, that could be a hot commodity to move to the night game. But it's 8:30. We're going to take a break here, folks. When we come back, I'm going to be talking to Cheesehead TV's own Alex Talich of the Packers Lounge. Stick around just a couple minutes. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Railbird Central here on CheeseheadTV.com. Joining us right now on the phone lines is Alex Talich of the Packers Lounge right here on Cheesehead TV. How are you this morning, Alex?
Doing great, Brian. Really enjoying the Ron Dayne memories you were bringing back. I don't know if you can go back to that time, but if you were ever at Camp Randall Stadium when Ron Dayne was running, it was great. The announcer, he was really monotone, and after every play, he'd be like, number blah, 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 Tim Smith. Well, eventually, the crowd got sick of it and wanted to get excited, so every time Ron Dayne would get a run, the announcer would be able to announce his number. He'd go number 33, and the entire crowd would go, Ron Dane really loud. It was awesome. Brings back some good memories.
I have many fond memories. Of course, I went to Wisconsin, and I think that was probably one of my sole reasons for choosing that university was so I could go to sporting events. But I have very fond memories of Ron Dane, and of course the best being the game in which he broke the all-time NCAA rushing record. Which, more so than that, it was against Iowa, but the streaker after that, do you remember that? Maybe, I don't know if you were there. Probably
I do. I was living on State Street above Ella's Deli that whole time.
So, yeah, I don't know if that ever got on TV or not, but a streaker streaked across the whole field, and no, that was pretty funny. But getting back to Packers talk here, Alex. We're talking a lot about the offensive line situation, and what direction would you think the Packers should go? The audience is split almost 50-50. Looking at the polls right now, TJ Lang is barely leading 56% to 44%. But which way do you lean in that regard?
You know, I guess I don't understand, first of all, why everyone automatically assumes that TJ Lang is so great right now. I mean, yeah, he's been in there. We've seen him a little bit in practice, but he certainly hasn't shown any kind of dominance that would automatically make him better than Spitz, whom many considered possibly as a starter. I mean, I don't know how Spitz's back is this year, if he's really that healthy, but I mean, he was going to be the starting center at one time. He was going to be the starting guard at one time. I mean, you got to think that he's a little more prepared for the role, but, you know, we got a lot of Lang lovers, so it's hard to say.
TJ Lang, of course, playing on defense, and what do you make of that? I mean, is it just like the Packers are so down by injuries that they have to resort to playing offensive linemen on defense? Or, I mean, do you think it's just a bad idea in general to put somebody who doesn't know the position in there? Where do you fall along those lines?
I don't think it's a bad idea, and I guess I'm going to contradict myself by saying maybe TJ Lang is a really great athlete. You know, maybe he is the best spot. I mean, we saw it with Havner, guys that are just good athletes and football players. If he can go on the D-line and make some noise just like he could on the O-line, and that's the only way he gets some snaps and we can utilize his talent, so be it. I'm okay with it if it's working, which it seems to be.
Yeah, I mean, it really is not much. I mean, it's against the Jets, I think it was a handful of snaps every game, and it's just in that hippo package they use. So, I mean, it's not too much of a big
hippo
deal. Yeah. You brought up the name Spencer Havner, which kind of jogged my memory. Last week, Spencer Havner kind of came in for a physical, I think. He suffered an injury when he was with the Lions before he was cut, but the Packers are checking it out. Do you think the Packers could, you know, even if it's down the road a little bit, maybe after the bye, do you think he comes back at all?
I think that's a really good why not situation, depending on who you get rid of. If you've got a guy sitting there that it really makes no matter whether he's a Packer or not.
And not Josh Sitton.
Yeah, not Josh Sitton. No, but Spencer, guys liked him. People liked the guy. I mean, you're talking about gaining momentum, gaining energy. You know, bringing a Spencer Havner back in certainly doesn't hurt, especially just as a locker room influence. A lot of people thought that he was, you know, one of the good guys on the team, and also thought he would make a great coach someday.
Where was I going to go with this? The Packers have had, a couple little injuries at tight end with Andrew Corliss, and that's what I thought. Maybe Spencer Havner could come back. You know, I saw this past weekend here, just a little observation of mine. You know, Spencer Havner is mostly a tight end now, but he has played some inside linebacker, and the Packers signed this Matt Wilhelm last week. I got to tell you, I mean, Matt Wilhelm looked very slow on special teams, and I thought, you know, maybe Spencer Havner could be a a better special teams player than a Matt Wilhelm, because Havner was good last year. But anyway, that's just my two cents on that issue. One more question here, Alex. I'm going to be changing the topic here very shortly to the pup list players. And, you know, without asking you about a specific player, where do you fall in general about these pup list players? Will they come back?
Still not convinced. I mean, I think Atari Bigby's going to be back for sure. I didn't always think that, but just from watching what he's saying and watching from what everyone else is saying, I think he'll be back. You know, Al Harris, yeah, I've been reading a couple places where, you know, a lot of people are doubting if he's going to be back at all. So, you know, it's another instance of you're not getting enough out of the front office and nobody's saying anything. So it's anyone's best guess. I'd like to see him. My stance on Al Harris and always has been, I love the guy. This is a major, major injury. You know, everyone's praying for a miracle, and they just don't happen all the time. So I'm cautiously optimistic. You know, the guys that stay talking about James Starks and impact and everything else just need to get off it. Leave the guy on the pup. We'll bring him back next year. You know, name a rookie, even a first-round rookie outside of Javad Best this year that's really made a huge difference for their team. And there isn't one. There's no reason to think that James Starks, of all people, is going to be that guy.